God is so good, and I'm so blessed to be a part of what God is doing in your life, and your hearts are just so beautiful and so warm, and you're so in love with God, and it is just amazing. And I was talking with your wife today, and I was letting her know that to see you and to see your generosity and your faith and your love, I know that it is a part of an expression of the leadership of the church. Because when I go places, churches are a reflection of God. It should be. Amen. But the Bible also says, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. So as leaders, you could tell how a leader is based upon the personality of the congregation. Have you noticed that? Do you notice that? You didn't notice that? Really? Oh my. I just taught you something. Yes. So, but with that being said, that is a blessing because I see that the leadership is very humble, and that you are servants of God and that you love people. And I can see that. And so God bless you and God bless the leadership of this church. Amen. And I just want to pray for the leadership of this church. Can I do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, God, lifting up this leadership. Father, we thank you for Pastor Soon and his family. God, we thank you for his heart, Father, that you have given him to birth this ministry. Father, I know that there has been disappointments. I know that there has been all kinds of issues because that's a part of ministry. But Father, I thank you, God, that you will just restore the joy, just restore the hope, God, just restore to him, God, the passion for when he first began. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this congregation, Father, that it is alive. It is a living, breathing organism. It's not an organization. It is living. It is living and it is breathing. And the enemy could not destroy it. Because what is born of God overcomes the world. And I thank you, Father, for the favor that they will have concerning the plans that they have for the future of this ministry. I thank you, God, that you already have a place, a permanent place for them, God, that you have already prepared beforehand. I thank you for favor. I thank you for the favor for the February meeting, God, that you will turn the hearts of all of those, God, that would be in position of making decisions, that you will speak to them, that your presence will be there. I thank you for the unity of the leaders, God, the deacons, the elders, Father, the leaders, the pastors, Father. I thank you, God, that they're walking on one accord, that their desire is to do your will and your will alone. I thank you that plans will prosper according to your will. Prosper this team, prosper this church. Fill it with your presence. Fill it with your anointing. Multiply it. Let souls be saved. Let people be delivered. God, I thank you for the multiplication of discipleship making. That the people of this church are being formed into your image and likeness. And we thank you that there's been a shift. There has been a change. That there's been a renewal. This retreat was not by accident, Father, but you set it up for such a time as this. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last night, I know that God was moving so powerfully last night. And I know that God has been dealing with a lot of you, and I know he has even with me, in terms of what he is wanting to continuously do on your behalf. Last night we stopped with, we stopped off at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. And we began to talk about what God's love gives. Because God's love, we talked about, is a foundation piece. It is foundational. God's love, receiving God's love and building upon God's love, as the worship leader led us in song today, that we need to build our life on a firm foundation. Amen. So that we will not be shaken. So that we will not be shaken. We've been learning a lot about shame. And here, where the presence of God is, and where we are a part of community and family, we're feeling good. We're feeling on top of the world, and God is moving, but we're going to have to leave here. And we're going to have to get in our cars, and we're going to have to live everyday life, and we're going to have to go back home, and we're going to have to be left with some of those thoughts and some of those things of worthlessness or shame or lack of belonging, and those struggles that we've been struggling with may appear again. And we're going to have to remind ourselves that we are building on a firm foundation, and that God loves us, and his love gives us, and this goes to your page from today, his love gives identity. His love gives us our identity, because we do not have to transform into the identity of what others are saying about us. Amen. We get to walk in the identity that God has given us. We recognize that God's love gives us worth. Because remember, in the beginning, we talked about how shame, where it began, and it began in the garden. And in the garden, we recognize that Adam and Eve, they began to struggle. Once sin came into the picture, that the first thing that they began to do, what did they do? They began to hide. Then they begin to cover up, right? Then they begin to blame. And there's other things that they begin to do. Those are some of the things that we need to pay attention to. When we see ourselves acting out in that way, we know that we are only reacting to shame that is still present. And so when we see ourselves acting out in those ways, then what we're going to have to do is remind ourselves the things that we have learned over the last couple of days. Because deliverance can be a process. And so we recognize that God's love gives worth. God's love gives belonging. Belonging. And that's something we haven't touched on. I'm going to try to touch a little bit on that today, but that's number C, belonging. And so let's continue on concerning God's love. And it's so important because, you know, Paul wanted the Ephesians church to know that it is very important that if you want to be filled with the fullness of God, that you have to understand this fundamentally, that how much God's love is for you. And then we recognize that that's not something that we're going to learn instantly, but it's something that we're going to have to apprehend. It's something that we're going to have the strength to continue to pursue. We're going to have to be very intentional to remind ourselves of the love of God, because it is a continual a struggle at times. Because if you don't believe intrinsically that God loves you, then you're not going to believe that God wants to use you. You're not going to believe that God wants to bring you in as a part of his plan to advance his kingdom. You're not going to see yourself as a part of that. And what that could look like in a very practical sense, an announcement will go forth in your church, and they'll say, hey, we need people. They're going to come together. They're going to do Bible studies. And in your heart, you want to do it. But in your mind, you're thinking, well, that's not me. I'm not included in that. God doesn't want to use me. And so you won't even sign up. You won't even show up. And so how does that affect even the local church? It affects the local church in the way the local church does ministry. So what God's wanting to do here at this church, he wants you to be liberated. He wants you to walk in your freedom so that you are free to pour. You're free to give. You're free to advance. Amen. In your lane, in the area that God has called you to. You don't have to be her. You don't have to be him, but you definitely need to be you. And so let's pick up concerning the love of God and how God's love gives identity. I want you to go to 1 Peter 2:9. This is our identity. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm going to read it again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does it mean to be a chosen race? It's reminiscent of Old Testament promises of deliverance from Babylon. In Isaiah 43:3, you can make a note of that. God declares he will be Israel's savior. That's where this chosen race first shows up. It first shows up in the Old Testament. So when we're dealing with race, we're not talking about the color of our skin, but we're talking about what Jesus was taught, what God was talking about in the early church concerning chosen race. And so in Isaiah 43:3, God declares he will be Israel's savior. So this is the first speaking of this chosen race. Isaiah 43:3, God declares he will be Israel's savior. In Isaiah 43:20-21, you can make note of that. God declares he will provide water in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Okay, so what is this chosen race? Who are these chosen people? They are the people that will proclaim praises to God. So that is why you are a chosen race. So it doesn't matter what nationality you were born in, or who was your mother, or who was your father, or who was your grandparents. That's all amazing. But what matters is, will you give praise to God? And if you're saying that as a son of God, as a daughter of the king, that I am going to commit my life to giving praise to God, then you are a chosen race. You're a part of this chosen community. Amen? For all those who believe in Jesus Christ, a new race has formed. Praise God. A new race is formed. And that is so beautiful, because so for some of us who have had different identity issues, or who've had different family struggles or what have you, that is such a beautiful thing that we are a part of a community. And we are a part of a community, in this beautiful community of Jesus believers, Christ lovers, amen, and those that will proclaim praises to God. That is an amazing thing. And so the other thing that we recognize through this text in terms of our identity, that we're part of a royal priesthood. That we are a part of a royal priesthood. So when you want to know, well, who are you? Well, I'm a part of a chosen race. Now, you might have to clarify that, because then people might get offended. Okay, so you might have to clarify that, particularly in these times that we live in. But you are a part of that, right? So you're part of this amazing family. Then you are a part of a royal priesthood. This first shows up, and it's very, very biblical. So, you know, so it first shows up in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5-6. This is where it first shows up. You are a royal priesthood. Peter writes this, applying the identification to the people of the new covenant in Christ, who are now ordained with the role of royal priesthood to mediate God in Christ to the nations. So it is our job as a priesthood to mediate God in Christ to the nations. Amen? It is us now. When we believe Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we received him as our Lord and Savior, we are now a part of this royal priesthood. And our responsibility as the royal priesthood is to mediate God, those that are away from God, and bring them from afar back to God through Jesus. And so we are part of this royal priesthood. And another note about being a part of a royal priesthood, which is so beautiful. And part of that is this, is that when the veil ripped from top to bottom, when Jesus was resurrected, that gave us access, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, that gave us access into the holies of holies. So in other words, I can go to God through Jesus myself. I don't have to go to my husband, my pastor. I don't have to go strictly to them in order for me to have access to God. He's given us that power through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access. So our identity now rests in the idea that we are now a part of this royal priesthood. So when you have identity crisis, you can start here. There's worth in me. I don't feel worthy, but I can't just focus on how I feel. I can focus on the word of God. And God says that I am a part of this royal priesthood. I am a part of this chosen race. I'm not by myself. There are believers all around the world that are calling upon the name of God. I am not alone, no matter how much I feel alone. I may be rejected from my family. I may be rejected from those that I love, but I am a part of a family nonetheless. Is this too early? Am I talking too loud? I did have coffee, and this is just how I teach. I really try to stay quiet, but it doesn't work for me. It doesn't. I've tried everything. I'm like, I just want to be that little quiet person that it just doesn't work. It's not me. Amen. So I had to understand that. Talking about worth and identity, I had to understand that. When I first started, when God had called me, I didn't know what that was looking like because I didn't see anybody like me. So I was confused. So I started trying to be something that I was not. But there was no anointing in it because I wasn't being authentic to who God has called me to be. Because the people that God has called me to need me to be who God has called me to be. Amen? And then here we see Holy Nation. And what it really refers to, it continues the theme that a new nation has been formed. But their calling as a people is to be set apart for God. Amen. So now I want to touch a little bit on worth and value. That is number B. Number B. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to worth and value. So there's a little bit of text that helps us with our identity. Okay. So let's go to, we're going to just talk a little bit about worth. These are all, why are we even talking about this? We're talking about this because these are the ways that the enemy attacks you concerning shame. Because when you are struggling with shame, and I thank God for the deliverance, amen. When we're struggling with that, we definitely struggle in these areas. We struggle with identity, we struggle with worth, and we struggle with belonging. Amen. And so here, you could go to it. I don't think it's in your notes. It might be, but I don't think, no, it's not. Okay. Psalms 139, verse 16 through 17. And after that, for those that are trying to figure out when I'm going to be done. I have two scriptures after that. Okay, that helps. Psalms 139, 16 through 17. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Psalm 39 is a beautiful reminder of God's intricate involvement in our lives. He was personally involved in the formation of our bodies while we were in the womb. Psalms 139 gives voice to the intentionality of our formation. God was intentional about forming us. He was present. He was present in our formation. And so when we are struggling with worth, these texts are really going to help you, because remember when I said to you last night, according to the word, that transformation comes because of the renewal of our mind, right? So we could preach here, but if you're not going to renew your mind by the word of God, which is a continual process, then you're going to go back to your old nature. And we read in the scriptures that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But what we're going to have to do in order to realize that is that we're going to have to renew our mind. We're going to have to renew our mind with the word of God. And once we get the word of God in our mind, when the enemy comes to bring you a thought that is contrary to the word of God, then you're going to have the word that's going to, bring it in a chokehold. Okay, I want you to have that visual. When the enemy says that you are not worth it, you can bring it and says, I'm a part of a royal priesthood. Okay, that's that chokehold. And you bring it down, you attack. We see this in Matthew, when the enemy came against Jesus after the fast, and he continued to kind of bring to attack him. But what did Jesus do? He came back with the word of God. He came back with the word of God. He combated the enemy with the word of God. So the word of God is very important. And so this is a very good text for you to meditate on if you are struggling with worth, that you can meditate on the idea of the intentionality of your formation. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. You can make note of that. And if you have time, you can go to it. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. Even sparrows fall in the scope of God's care. How much more are we who are made in the image? And just as a note, that in biblical time, that a sparrow was worth nothing. Absolutely, it was worth nothing. It had absolutely no worth and no value back in biblical time. And so this, in the time that this was written, there was no value for sparrows. But yet the text is telling us that God is even watching out carefully over a sparrow that to man or to people had no worth. It had all the worth to God. He said, how much more will I look after those who are made in my image and in my likeness? How much more? How much more worth do you have with God? And this is going to be the last text for today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is one of my favorite text. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Workmanship is used in classical times for work of a craftsman, such as making of crowns. It occurs 28 times in the canonical books. All but one time, which is in this text, is it translated as deed. In this case, it is translated as a work of art, also used of a person's skillful work of art. In other words, we are God's skillful work of art. We are God's skillful work of art. We are God's skillful work of art. So when you begin to meditate on your mistakes, when you begin to meditate on your flaws, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too round, I'm too this, I'm too that, you begin to say over yourself that I am, which is a truth, that I am God's skillful work of art. That's a t-shirt. We should get that made. I'm a skillful work of art. That would be pretty awesome. Amen. But we are God's skillful work of art. And so with that, this is something that is so amazing. Not only are we God's skillful work of art, But we were created in Jesus for what? Good work. We're a skillful work of art, and we were created by God for good work. For good work. For good work. For good work. You are my skillful work of art, and I've created you for good work. Woo, that's good right there. For good work. For good work, God. I thank you, Lord God, that I am a skillful work of art, Lord, and that you have created me for good work. And that doesn't just stop there. Not only am I a skillful work of art, not only are you a skillful work of art created by God, and you were created for good work, but this is the best part of it all. He created this work for you to do beforehand. I'm getting excited by myself. Can somebody come with me in this excitement journey? I am preaching to myself right now. I'm going to amen myself. Amen. Preach, girl. Got it. I'm a skillful work of art. You are a skillful work of art created by God for a special work. And this work that he has created you to do, he created you to do beforehand. So what does that beforehand means? That beforehand means that is before you started not believing in yourself, he already created this good work for you. Before you messed up, he already created this good work for you to do. Before you fell into sin or walk into sin, you don't fall into it. But anyway, before you got into sin, he created this good work for you to do, and he did it beforehand. Oh, it's too late. You can't take it back. Even though you may feel disqualified, God already created a good work for you to do, and he did it beforehand. Before you tripped up, before you messed up, before you did all of that stuff, God already created this work for you to do, and he is waiting for you to agree with him. Agree with God. Stop fighting God on the work that he's called you to do. Stop battling God. Just agree with him and have the spirit of Mary and say, be it unto me according to your word. I will do, God, what you have called me to do. I can't figure it out. I don't have the money for it. I don't know. I don't have the people for it. But God, I am submitting my will and my way to you, Father. I may not feel worth it at times, God, but I receive that I am your workmanship. And I receive it in Jesus' name, because the worth it one is in me. My worth is not based upon what I can do, because those things change. Abilities sometimes change. People get older, things change, they're shifting, but that doesn't change my worth. I'm a pastor now. I have this and I have that, whatever the case is. But those things can change. But what does not change is my worth in God. Because I'm a workmanship created by God for good works. So maybe if you put that in your spirit, and you say, Father God, I thank you that I'm created for your good works, God. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't make any mistakes about me, Father, that you've been so intentional about my creation. And God, because of that, I just want to agree with you. I remember in the book of Jeremiah, and God calls Jeremiah. I close this, my book, so that people can relax, but I'm not done. It's just a little trick that I do. I close my book and you're thinking, oh, okay, praise God. And then I just continue. So, but this is what I wanted to say to you is that in Jeremiah is struggling with his call. And remember in Jeremiah, God's telling Jeremiah that I called you. And Jeremiah, which is so interesting, it's like a lot of us, God is telling Jeremiah that I called you, and Jeremiah is like giving no, but. Now here is God saying, I called you. And I would love to laugh at that and say, he's so silly. How could he do that? But we do it. We have a lot of yeah, buts. We have to get our butt out of the way. We have a lot of yeah buts. And so Jeremiah tells God, he says, oh yeah, no. I understand. I'm kind of, okay. Let me just tell you, God, because you probably don't know this, but I'm too young. You probably didn't know it. I know that you called me and I know you want me to do some great things for you, but, let me tell you about me, God. Why I'm not qualified for what you've called me to do. Number one, I'm too young. Let's start there. Okay. And what God does at this point is that he tells Jeremiah, he says, keywords, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say what? Whatever is disqualifying you from the call that I've called you to. Let that be your words. Don't say that. So when God is saying to you, go, do, produce, advance, whatever is going to come after that, I want you to think very clearly. Because if it's anything that is going to, that you are saying that is disqualifying you for what God is calling you to, then you need to say to yourself, don't say that. I'm not smart enough. Don't say that. I didn't come from the right family. Don't say that. I don't have enough money. Don't say that. There are other people that are more qualified than me. Don't say that. But do say this. Be it unto me according to your word. And what that says is that it keeps you in a place of yieldedness. Because what we try to do is we try to figure it out. We try to fix everything. We try to be healed of everything, clean up everything, be just totally right for God. And then we sit on the sidelines. And what I just want to invite you to, before I sit down, is to invite you into this place, in this space of yieldedness, of just yieldedness. Some of you just got to just yield. Some of you just got to just come under. You're trying to figure it out in your mind and you're trying to figure it out in your heart and you're struggling with it. And you're just trying, but God is just saying, yield, come under, release. I want to pray for you. Can you stand to your feet? This last space in this last time with you. Just a time of surrender. A lot was said this weekend. A lot was done this weekend. God has been moving. But there is more. 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 God wants to show you more. God wants to do more in your life. He wants to expand you in ways that you cannot even comprehend. But it is for his glory. It is for the advancement of his kingdom. And your posture right now is to yield and to just surrender. Are you willing to surrender? To just surrender to God. Father God, we just yield to you, God. God, would you have your way? God, would you have your way in my life? God, in places and spaces that I don't even understand. God, will you just have your way, Father, that I just submit my will to you right now. I just submit my way to you right now, God. I just submit my plans to you right now, Father God. I sense that you're calling me higher, God, that you're calling me higher, God, that you're requiring more of me in this season, God, that God, you're pulling me closer to you, Father, and I don't seem to understand it all, God, but I'm standing in your presence right now, Father, and I am saying to you, God, here am I, God. Here am I, Lord. I am standing in your presence, Father, and I am naked and unashamed, God. Would you have your way in my life, Father? Would you have your way in my life, God? I want to serve you, Lord. I want to love you, God. I want to do your will, Father. I want to do what you've called me to do, Lord God, and I remove every distraction. sin right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I release guilt, Father. I release shame right now, God. I release, God, anything that is holding me back from saying yes, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that my identity is in you, Father. Hallelujah, that you're doing something fresh in my life, that you're doing something new in my life, that you're doing a new thing, Father God. Don't you perceive it? Yes, God, I do perceive it. God, you're doing a new thing. Give me eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is showing me. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would cause me to hear, God. Give me ears, God. Give me eyes, Father. Give me your heart, oh God. Give me your heart, oh God. I am your son, I am your daughter, and I desire to do your will, Father, at a greater level, Father, at a higher level, Father. I want to advance your kingdom, Lord God. Use me, God. Use my gifts. Use my talents. Use my heart, God. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, for your glory, God. For your glory, Lord. And I will not allow anything to stand in the way anymore. No more excuses. No more excuses. I will walk in freedom. I am your daughter. I am your son. I am a part of a chosen race. I am a part of a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And a holy nation. I am your workmanship. Created by you, God. To do good works, Father. Help me to do good works in your name. And God, where I've been confused on what steps I should take, help me to rest. Help me to rest in you. Help me to abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. Help me to abide in you, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, that you've healed those that have been abandoned, God, that you have healed them, God, that you've healed those, God, that have been rejected, God, that they recognize today, Father, that they're no longer rejected, but they've been adopted by you, Father, that they have been called by you and drawn to your royal family, Father, that they are not alone. God, and I sense right now, God, that those that are afraid, and I'm going to say this word, to be great. And that greatness is not a self-righteous or a self-puffed up word. But it's the sense of being all that God has called you to be. And there's this fear of going through a new door. There's this fear that you have of stepping out and taking the next step. And you know that God has called you to do it, but there's fear there. And right now I bind the spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That we're perfected in love, that we are rooted in love, and we will not be afraid to obey God. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, Lord, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. I bind the spirit of anxiety, just being anxious. But the Bible tells us not to be anxious for anything. But in everything, God, with prayer and supplication, that we make our requests known to God. That if you're anxious right now, that you just make your requests known to God. Even in this time, just go ahead and go to God right now and just let him know what your requests are. And you leave it there. You don't have to be anxious. You will not have to be anxious. But are you going away as a new church? And I just see something, and if it's okay, Pastor Dan, can I do something here? I know it's going to be difficult, but can you guys make a circle as a ministry, just in the best way you know how? I know it's an awkward space, but I need you to do your best to make a circle and to touch one another. You can go in between the chairs if you can, or I just feel God's anointing on this church. That we're healed in community. And those of you that are part of this ministry that maybe you felt alone or that you weren't a part of this family, this is your family. This is your church. And in a place and in a family, you know, we got all kind of members in the family. It's not a perfect family. And I know that sometimes when you go to church, you expect everything and everybody to be perfect and everybody to be nice and everybody to be... No, a church is a hospital. And there are a lot of broken people inside of a church, but that doesn't mean that it is not a good church or that the hand of God is not on the church. But as we are continue to be a people that are open, that are no longer hiding, that are open to community and open to love and open to connection and open to hearing from one another, you will continue to be healed within this community. As you continue to be intentional about making new relationships, as you're intentional about praying for your sister and praying for your brother, as you're intentional about showing up. And I hear the Lord say, show up, church. Not just physically, but show up spiritually. What is God calling you to do? What is he saying? What can you give your church? How can you serve? As a community, God's getting ready to do something. And I really sense this so powerfully, that God is getting ready to do something in your community through this church like never before. This is a powerful season for you. Because you're yielded and you're opened to the move of God. Have your way, God. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, God. Move in this church, God. Move by your spirit, God. Be glorified, God. Be glorified. Be glorified, God. Break out on them, God. Be stirred up by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. With power, with power, with power. Hallelujah. God, use them, Father. Do something new and fresh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God, that you're continuing to use these young people. Hallelujah, God, that revival is breaking out on UCLA, Lord God, because of them, Father, that you're going to use them in a mighty, powerful way, Father. Anoint them, God. Give them words, God. Anoint their feet, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that they have a desire like never before to run their race, God. Hallelujah, Father. Do something new. Do something powerful. Do something fresh, Father God, that only you can do in the name of Jesus, God. Stir them up from inside out, God. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for what you're doing. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Father. Continue it. Continue it, God. Not by accident. Not by accident. Hallelujah. You were led by the Holy Ghost. God has placed you here with his hand, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Father. Something new, God. Hallelujah. Spirit of discernment upon her now. In Jesus' name. God, we bless you. We give you the honor. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.